सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्योऽरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So if I do not want Atma, if I do not want this highest truth, I mean, if I do not want worldly success, but I want the highest truth, what should I do? So then we say, still approach these same Mahatmas, and how to approach and what is the glory of them, we'll talk in the Chapter 3, Section 2, Mantra number 1. Saroj Ben, are you able to unmute? Yeah. Can you unmute?
Okay.
So, Chapter 3, Section 2, Mantra number 1. So, Vedai Tat Paramam Brahma Dhamma.
Vedai Tat Param Brahma Dhamma.
Yatram Vishvam Nihitam Bhati Shubhram.
Yatra visvam nahitim bhatesu prem.
Upasate purusham yeha kamaha.
Upasate purusham yeha kamaha.
Te shukram etad ativartanti dhiraha.
Te shukram etad ativartanti dhiraha.
Okay, you can mute. We'll all chant together. Savedai tat paramam brahma dhamma yatra vishvam nihitam bhati shubhram upasate purusham yehya kamaha te shukram etad ativartanti dhiraha. So last line is dhiraha, last word. So dhiraha means the wise men who have no worldly desire. So they have gone, they have seen the world. World is not giving me full happiness, and they are sincere seekers. So here, dhira means wise person. Dhira, Bhagwan Shri Krishna uses many times in Bhagavad Gita, and it often has different meanings. But here it means who has the wisdom, who has the right understanding, and who has gone beyond worldly desires. He has accomplished whatever the world could give him. So that is here, dhi. Dhi means buddhi. So dhi raha means one who have the right buddhi. So where do they go? They go to the master, the same atmagnyam that was in the previous mantra. Saha means that. So saha means he. He means the one that we were talking in the previous mantra. Again, they're using saha, but it's generic. That means he or she. Saha Veda, that person knows. Knows what? Etat. Paramam Brahma Dhamaha. So dham, paramam brahma, he knows the way, etat. Etat means this supreme Brahman. Again, Brahman is not that far somewhere, not that Brahman or this Brahman. This Brahman here, not that Brahman or some Brahman, but that Brahman that I am, they know that as their own nature. Dhamma means here it is used as radiant or shining. The Dhamma means abode, but in different context it means different. So they know that radiant, shining Brahma. Shining again does not mean light or illumination. What it means is the energizing principle, that which illumines my body, mind, intellect, makes my senses work, my body work, my mind feel emotions, my intellect think, plants to grow, birds to fly, animals to move. So the one that does all that is called that supreme Brahman, radiant. So that Brahman, which is illumining all bodies. And what happens in this Brahman? Yatra Vishvam Nihitam Bhati Shubhram. So Shubhram is again used for Brahman. Shubhram means shining, also means pure. So that Brahman, which is shining, which is pure, yatra Vishvam Nihitam Bhati. So where this world is, Nihitam means is sustained, is fixed. So that means that which is holding this whole universe together, yatra Vishvam Nihitam Bhati. And that this world appears to shine, appears to have sentiency because of that, because of Brahman. That is the why this world appears sentient. So the world is based upon that. And then again, the Rishi says, Upasate Purusham. So again, what do you do? Approach that Purusham, that wise master. Ye, these people, he akamaha, those who have no worldly desires, you want God or Brahman, again you go to that wise person. You go to the wise person either for worldly success or for spiritual success. And they shukram etat ati vartanti. They go beyond birth and death. That means they are no longer born again. And once they give up the body, they are done. And they're, you know, they that's called, what do you call it? This, you know, jivan mukta. Live while alive, they are realized. So these masters are realized, and if we approach them, we can also get this Jivan Mukti. So as we said, the person has no desires, he has absolutely nothing to gain from the world, and again he serves. And service, we talked last in the last mantra, that service, as even we were talking to students on Sunday, whatever principles are taught by the teacher, we have to abide and practice. And students actually answered very beautifully on Sunday. So whatever teachings are given by our teacher, one has to understand, pay attention, and then practice it, bring it in our life. And Saha and that master Veda, he knows what this radiant, pure Brahman, this total consciousness, Brahma, which is Param, which is supreme, and which is illumining everything, and the world is based upon it. It is sustained upon it. So it is the, that's why they say, who's holding that earth? Earth is just standing in the middle of space, going round. And then you say, okay, Earth is held by gravity. How about the sun? Who is holding the sun and the galaxies and the stars and the comets? Where they are just lying, standing somewhere in space. Who is holding that? That is Bhagwan, that is God, that is consciousness. So this world is held and sustained by that. And it says, again, they say, do Guru Seva, as we said. By purity and clarity, you purify your mind and get clear knowledge. Again and again, they say, knowledge is the only way. You purify your mind, remove all the impurities, all the raga, dveshas, ego, arrogance, greed, jealousy. Remove all those negativities with a pure mind. When you and the, these teachers are very intuitive. See, they can sense exactly where, how you are, what level you are, how. So they will teach you according to your level. You don't even have to ask the student teacher, because either from the level of your question or even just by your presence, these Mahatmas are able to intuitively figure out where the student stands, and they then basically teach them at that level. And they say there are three varieties of students who go to a teacher. So he says, what is the first variety? He says the first variety is that in the previous mantra, who goes for wealth. Oh Gurudev, my business, I just started a new business, come and bless it so I may make a lot of money, or my child is not getting admission to college, please you take the child there and get guru's blessings, or your daughter is not getting married, so you go to the guru and bow down and say, please bless him. So there you are going for worldly things. So first kind of devotee is, he goes there, it's at least he's asking to the right person. But his whole goal of going to Mahatma or going to temple or going to Bhagwan is for worldly benefits. Then the second group is those who go for knowledge. Guru, give me knowledge. I don't know this. I don't know that. I need to study this Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge I need. So they go for, to look for knowledge. So that is the second. The third variety, they call them as Bagla Bhagat. That means Bagla Bhagat means, that in the water there is a crane who stands as if he's a Bhagat, as if he's a great devotee. He just stands very still. And the moment a fish comes, he bites, because his attention is on fish. So he pretends to be, very shant and very quiet, but he's waiting for the fish. And the moment the fish comes, he jumps and bites. So same way, these people are just showing that they are going to the temple or going to the guru. Actually, they are just going there to show off. They neither have desire for worldly things, nor they have desire for knowledge. They have just desire to show off. So they say a guru who has this kind of devotee, he's a manda prarabdha. The poor guru's prarabdha is bad, that he gets such devotees who are just showing off. And the second is the devotee who goes to for worldly things. But the one the guru really waits for is that second kind, who comes to him for knowledge with a genuine desire to know, not to show off. Sometimes people ask questions just to show how much I know, in the at the end of the class, just to show off. They will give a lengthy talk and at the end put a question. So that means they want to show how much they know. Not like that. When they have a genuine desire to know, so their question is pertinent to the topic, is something that is their own doubt, not somebody else's doubt. So the teacher is waiting for such a student to come who is genuinely interested in knowledge, who asks the question. And that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna, if we see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has very genuine doubts, very genuine questions. Even when he disagrees with Bhagavan, it is because he has a doubt. He says, the mind, I don't think, can be controlled. In the sixth chapter, he says, why? Because mind is, the mana is chanchalam asthiram. It is very, very, very active and very moves around and very disturbed. And then Bhagwan says, answers, no, you're right. Mind is very difficult to control. Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagnena. So mind can be controlled by practice and by detachment. So that's why in meditation, if we have difficulty controlling our mind, either we have too much attachment or we have not done enough. So meditation needs sustained practice. So anything, even in the world, you know, success, when you want a PhD in anything, you have to put full effort in that direction and withdraw from everything else. If I want a PhD in quantum physics, I cannot say, well, one semester I will do some chemistry and physiology and botany. No, your whole effort should be in that. So same way, my whole effort should be in learning that. That's why Ramakrishna Paramhans, when Narendranath, you know, who later on became Swami Vivekananda, when he came there, he didn't even need to ask a question or anything. The moment Ramakrishna Paramhans saw him, he got up and just embraced him. He said, "Oh, I have been waiting for you to come." Now, how did he know? Narendranath didn't even speak a single word of, "Guru, I have a question, I have a doubt," nothing. He said, "I have been waiting for you to come," you know, because that's who the gurus wait for, good students who will come and be sincere in learning. And then, of course, Narendranath asks, "Have you seen God?" Because that he used to go and ask all the Mahatmas, "Have you seen God?" And they would say, "Well, not yet, maybe, you know, this and that, wishy-washy." And Ramakrishna says, "I see God more clearly than I see you. I see God all the time, the Mother Goddess. I talk to her, I'm always. And for me, this whole you and this whole world is a hazy illusion, like, you know, like a hazy mist appearance. But that is real." So they see the real at all times and they consider the world as unreal. So same way, he also was all the time in contact with the Mother, Divine Mother. And for him, she was more real than this entire universe. So he says, "I see God more clearly than I see you." So that is the desire of these teachers, that may a good student come. There's another place in the Upanishad. It says, "May all seekers come." You know, that is what the rishi is hoping, that all genuine seekers may come. So that's why when we approach a Mahatma, we should not talk to them about stock market or about politics or Trump or anything. Ask them questions about spirituality if we have doubt, or just discuss what we have heard or what we have discussed in our study group, in our classes. So, or when we have a chance to drive these Swamijis, when they give you an opportunity, talk to them, ask them questions with a genuine desire to know. So that is how one should approach the teacher. So this mantra tells us how one should approach the teacher. And then when this person goes beyond birth, now Shukra means sperm, the semen. So then this person no longer enters into the sperm, means he no longer enters into a mother's womb. He no longer takes another birth. So that's why when they say Shukram Ati Vartanti, means he goes beyond birth and death. He then no longer has to go through this cycle of birth and death. As we had talked on Sunday, also the wise master, his body gets mixed with the five elements, his mind and intellect become one with the total mind and intellect, and his Atma consciousness is all pervading. So they don't go anywhere. They always stay here. And then there are some, you know, who go through the cycle of birth and death, birth and death. They go to higher or lower worlds, and that is, you know, called transmigration. And then there are some who go to Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka means where Brahmaji lives, and that's where we go, and there it's called Krama Mukti, where Brahmaji teaches. So here, this description is of not of the Supreme Brahman, it is of Ishvara, because it says there where the world is sustained. So if the world is there, then this is the conditioned Brahman. This is the conditioned consciousness. So it is same, that same consciousness, but functioning through Maya creates this world. So that entity which creates the world is mentioned in this. But you know, there it is the same Brahman, he's just playing a different role. So here it is the conditioned Brahman, not the absolute. In some of the mantras, they had mentioned the absolute, But this is not absolute, this is conditioned. So that we have to understand. And the next few mantras will tell us about Videha Mukti. One is we heard about Jivan Mukti, then there is Krama Mukti with when you go to Brahmaji. Videha Mukti is the third one where right after death, this person attains enlightenment. But this person has to give up his or her body. And within a few days, generally they say 3 to 4 days, they attain that enlightened state. So, how to get to Videha Mukti, that is covered in the next mantras, which we'll do next week. And in about 3 weeks, we'll be finishing this Upanishad. And then at the end, I will take one talk to summarize the whole Upanishad. So that will be an extra talk where we will summarize whatever was covered in all the, because it
Okay.
is, you know, so many topics. This Upanishad actually is vast, has such a variety of topics beautifully covered. So we'll summarize that at the end. So I'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything is not clear. Anybody wants to add anything? Can unmute if you. Yeah, Joyce, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say there is a lot here in this Upanishad. It's the first time myself have studied this one. So it's one that I definitely want to contemplate, reread, rewatch, and anyone else, whoever feels that way, I think that's something that's necessary if I'm going to progress in the way I want to in this knowledge.
Yes.
So yeah, I do read the shlokas before and some of it, but I think it needs a lot of attention and a lot of contemplation to thoroughly, especially because I have been raised in the West and that philosophy. So to transfer my thinking from Western thinking to Eastern religion, such as this, which I feel very drawn to in my heart and in meditation, but the knowledge I know is going to be something that is something more difficult. I don't know if anyone else has that. That's all I want to say.
No, knowledge is essential, and I think rereading is good. You can listen to these talks on First Power. You know how to access them, right?
Yes.
Firstpower.info. You can listen to them again. And then the last end of the Upanishad, I will spend 1 hour summarizing the main points in this. So that will be also recorded. So you can listen to that also.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Can you explain this? You mentioned Ramana Maharshi says, wherever I, the ego, arises, there is Atma.
Yeah.
So,
Aham, aham.
Atma, when, yeah, go ahead and explain,
Yeah.
please.
So when we say I, you put it in the middle of the chest. So even though Atma is everywhere, they say that to approach it, to locate it, it's best to go to the middle of the chest. But wherever this I thought arises, aham, aham, aham. Is where. So what do you do? You say, okay, I say I am Anil or I am Lata or I am, Kusum. So where is that I thought arising? Where did this idea come from? Face the root of that. Go back to the root of the ego. Where did the ego come from? Where did this I thought come from? See, I is a thought, but this Atma is beyond thoughts.
Right.
Cannot be a thought. You cannot say that here by thinking I will reach. No. You keep looking for the origin of the I thought and wait. And
Okay.
then that Atma will reveal itself. But you have to prepare yourself. You have to do the Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Jnana, right knowledge, meditation, contemplation, complete clarity.
Mm-hmm.
When you approach that I thought and the origin of that I thought, that is where it is.
But that I thought or ego is necessary for me to function in this BMI?
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything you want to add, Neeru, to
No,
this?
that's why. No, that's what she.
Right.
That's why.
No, so the ego is necessary to function. Otherwise, we won't be able to
We won't
function.
be here.
Yeah. So the ego is essential, but you have to go beyond the ego to where did this ego originate from?
And
And
one more question. You mentioned
in meditation, that's why we say step back and become a witness of this ego.
right.
This ego, this I, this that is has this name Anil and male and Hindu and all. So that which is a witness of that witness I am.
Right. Okay.
One.
So in the meditation, I'm focusing in the heart cave.
Right.
That's where the mind, the I thought, ego, and Atman sort of explained here resides.
Right.
Is that
Right. But I
okay?
think even you don't have to keep focusing on that. What I try to do is I try to be separate from this body, mind, intellect, and watch it from a distance.
Yeah, you have re reminded us that before as a, yeah,
Sakshi as a witness.
witness, right.
None of these is me, and I am the witness of that. So that, and even that itself is still not the final, because that is still a thought. I am that. But ultimately, the thought will quieten down, and then will. That's why Bhagwan says, Atma Samstham Mana Kritva. Center the mind in the self, and then think of nothing else. Na kinchit api chintaye. So center the mind in the self, the Atma, the heart. Then that heart I am, and then think of nothing else after that. And then when your mind becomes quiet and that I becomes clearer, you know, it is slowly, it is purifying, just as the cloud has can be removed slowly. If there's very dense cloud, the ignorance has to be removed by knowledge.
Yeah, we have clouds here today in Southern Cal. The sun hasn't shined. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. Okay, anybody else? Anything? Hansa had unmuted, but then she's gone. So I don't know. I thought she won. Kusum, you have anything? We have a couple of minutes.
Not really, but I think Lataji was asking the question about the mind, and I think Guruji had explained that the mind is like, even in the first sloka, the nine one, there is a question on the end of the first paragraph. The question arises like how the human mind and intellect, which themselves are finite, can realize the infinite Atman. So
Right.
that time Guruji had given an example that initially the mind, that when we meditate, it has to be the mind because there's nothing else. So the thoughts will be there, but then the mind is becomes so pure or something, it turns towards the self itself, and it merges in the self itself. So then it is all that, and he gives the example of a the how the pole runner, you know, jumping over the high jump. So he takes a pole and runs from the distance with the pole. And when he reaches that to jump high, he drops the pole and he jumps over. So that's how our mind also will be dropped ultimately when we are really meeting that. But that requires constant practice and meditation and Guru Kripa and also Ishwar Kripa. And then we can do that. So that example was so beautiful that you have to drop it so that finite mind is not realizing the infinite, but it just merges. It's no more there. Actually, it's the superimposition. So it's not real. I thought that was very.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very nice. You know anything else? Yeah, Ramakrishna Paramhans calls it the salt doll. The salt doll went to experience the ocean
And
and
he
she
says,
got lost in there. So same way, when you try to experience the Brahman, then that you get lost. You merge in that, as Kusum said. वेरी
कबीर दास
नाइस।
जी ऑल्सो ना, लाली मेरे लाल की जी, देखो तितला लाली देखन मैं गई, मैं भी हो गई लाल, सेम थिंग।
या आई वेंट टू सी दिस रेड कलर एंड व्हेन आई वेंट देयर आई सेड आई विल सी इट बट आई इट वाज कलर वाज सो स्ट्रांग एंड आई बिकेम रेड सो सेम वे आई वेंट टू सी ब्राह्मण और नो ब्राह्मण एंड देन आई गॉट माई सेल्फ लॉस्ट गॉट कवर्ड इन दैट कबीर दास जी सेज ब्यूटिफुली। ओके थैंक यू विल एंड हियर नेक्स्ट वीक विल कंटिन्यू एंड एज आई सेड विल टॉक अबाउट हाउ टू गेट विदेह मुक्ति सो दैट इज सेम थिंग बट इट इज मुक्ति आफ्टर डेथ नॉट जीवन मुक्ति बट दे आर ऑल स्टेजेस दे आर ऑल द सेम यू नो इट्स देर इज नॉट मच डिफरेंस बट जीवन मुक्त कंटिन्यूज टू फंक्शन इन दिस वर्ल्ड एंड गाइड अस विदेह मुक्त ही मे बी वेरी वाइज वेन ही इज अलाइव एंड एबल टू गाइड अस बट हिज एनलाइटनमेंट हैपन्स आफ्टर डेथ Shortly after death. So we'll talk about that. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.